Good morning, my friend. Last week we began reflecting on the subject of Christian conversion. I said then that conversion may be defined as turning away from sin and turning to God. Perhaps the classic verse which captures this definition is 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9. For they themselves report concerning us what kind of reception we had among you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God. Today, we begin our look at the first of several stories of conversion recorded for us in the Bible. Let us consider today the conversion of the woman of Samaria. The conversion of the woman of Samaria is recorded for us in St. John chapter 4, verses 1 through to 29. In John's Gospel, this Samaritan woman at the well is the first person to whom Jesus openly revealed himself as Messiah. This is also the longest private conversation that Jesus had with anyone in the New Testament. I believe it is also fitting that we start with this story of conversion, because John's purpose in writing his gospel is to, quote, to show that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believers might come to put their trust in him and have eternal life. John 20, 30 and 31. My friends, according to chapter 4, verse 3 of John, Jesus left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. He came to Samaria, the city called Sychar, near a plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water. So says the scriptures. My friends, verse 4 in John 4 said that Jesus had to go through Samaria. The use of the words "had to go through Samaria" makes it clear that it was really a divine appointment. The fact is, it was not geographically necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria. And Jewish travelers normally traveled around Samaria because of long-standing unresolved issues that is referred to in the Old Testament book of 2 Kings verse 17. It is interesting that Jesus was tired and thirsty, yet he had a divine appointment with this woman. Who was this woman anyway? We know her nationality, but we don't know her name. And so this nameless woman represents every member of the human race with whom Jesus the Messiah wants to have a divine appointment. This nameless woman also represents every person who has had a colorful past that has left them with some issues. We are told that Jesus' disciple went into the town nearby to buy food, according to verse 8, and that while Jesus sat at the well, having been tired and waiting for some food too, that this woman came and sat at the well, coming to drink water. According to John 4 verse 8, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." And this Samaritan woman said, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask me for a drink, a Samaritan?" Samaritans do not share things in common with Jews. Jesus then did something that was a cultural taboo. He spoke to a woman in public, and he also spoke to a Samaritan woman. She was twice an outcast in Jewish thought. My friends, based on verse 10, Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would ask him, and he would have given you living water." As the conversation progressed, the conversation turned to a discussion about living water versus the water in the well. So that the woman said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water that I may never thirst again or keep coming here to draw water." Jesus then sent her to call her husband, and she said she had none. Jesus then told her that she had five husbands, and that the man she's now living with is not her husband. You know, it's interesting that many commentators have jumped to the conclusion that she was an immoral woman who had been divorced five times. Yet, if you read the text carefully, you will discover that she was not divorced. The scripture didn't say that. And so there are at least two possible reasons why this woman had five husbands. One possibility is that she was unable to have children. And in those days, in a culture that placed supreme importance on having children, especially sons, barrenness was a solid grounds for divorce. And so maybe the fact that she was barren meant she couldn't have children, and so the men just kept moving on. Also, she could have been trapped in the Levirate marriage law, where her five husbands could have been brothers for whom she was supposed to produce their heir, according to Matthew 22, 24 and following. And so either the family ran out of sons, or the next son could have refused to marry her. At any rate, she was in an untenable situation, and Jesus, by this conversation, had been pressing her on this critical issue. And then, as the conversation progressed, Jesus told her that the Father is seeking worshippers, and it did not matter where one worshipped God, it was how God was worshipped. There would be no longer limitations on geography of worshipping God, but that one should worship God in spirit and in truth. According to verse 25 of our text, my friends, the woman stated her belief in the coming Messiah who would reveal all things to them. Then Jesus revealed something to this unnamed woman that he did not reveal to Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John. Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking to you. I am he." Can you imagine how she must have felt talking about the Messiah, only to have the Messiah be the one in front of her speaking to her? You know, this Samaritan woman was the first person to whom Jesus revealed himself as Messiah in the Gospel of John. And this is the first I am statement in the Gospel of John as well. The disciples returned with food, scratching their heads and wondering why was Jesus speaking to this woman in public. Then the woman went to the people and said, "Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Is he not the Messiah?" My friends, what lessons can we learn from this biblical record of the conversion of this Samaritan woman? There are many lessons. I share a few today. You know, in the same way, Jesus had a divine appointment with this Samaritan woman for her conversion. Jesus came to the earth as a divine appointment from the Father that you might repent and come to put your faith in him. Do you know that this could be the last time you are hearing the gospel today? Will you repent and follow Jesus with your whole life? You know, for a person to repent and to put their faith in Jesus, they must grow in their knowledge of Jesus and faith in him. As you look at the story, you recognize that she regarded Jesus first, essentially, as an ordinary man. Then she said, "I perceive that you're a prophet." And then she confessed him as the Christ. Let me ask you, have you come to put your faith in Jesus and to confess him as Christ? Or to you, is he just an ordinary man or a prophet? Let me ask you, my friends, who are you helping to come to know Jesus in a better way? Have you dispensed with morning devotions? Are you taking your opportunity to preach the word seriously so that others can come to know Jesus better? Oh, we must also be careful that we are not just coming to more and more knowledge of Jesus, but that knowledge never bringing us to the truth of a reality of a relationship with him. If you're just coming to know more and more knowledge, but never coming to know Jesus, you are still in danger of eternal separation from God. My friends, in the same way Jesus offered this Samaritan woman living water, which is a metaphor for God's great salvation in Jesus, he offers living water to you today. Only God's great salvation can satisfy the longing of your thirsty soul. Belonging to a nation that is making economic progress with economic stability is good, but it cannot satisfy a thirsty soul. Negotiating for the best salary increase you can get is good, but it will never satisfy a thirsty soul. Only the living water of salvation that Jesus offers can satisfy your thirsty soul. Oh, my friends, like this Samaritan woman, who had a sinful past, but found freedom and deliverance in Jesus, you too can find freedom and deliverance in Jesus. It does not matter how sinful your life has been or is. It doesn't matter where you have gone or how far or how long you have stayed. Jesus Christ can save you, he can deliver you, and he can set you free. Like the Samaritan woman, you can come to a place in your life where you learn to worship God in spirit and in truth because you are convinced that the Father is seeking true worshipers. Oh, my friends, these are not the days to play church if there ever was. God is seeking true worshipers. So worshiping your money, your privilege, your power, the significant persons in your life, or for that matter, any other idols that you have, if you do that, you will only be kept away from God and his eternal salvation because you have placed an idol before him. My friends, when you are truly converted, Jesus breaks the power of your past over your life. This woman went with haste into the city to call others to come and to encounter the Messiah for themselves. When Jesus saves you, you need not worry what others think about your past. Your past is forgiven, my friends. It is covered under the blood. And even though the accuser will try to remind you of your past, you can always remind the devil of his future. My friends, when you are truly converted, your heart will be filled with a passion for others to come to know Jesus too. If you are truly converted, you will know that you are an evangelist, whether or not your church proclaims you as such. You are an ambassador for Christ, and your life must revolve around obedience to the Great Commission. If you are saved, you have a story to tell to the nations. And time is running out, my friends. We must take the gospel across the street as well as across the seas. The whole church must take the whole gospel to the whole world. Where are you today, my friends? Do you know Jesus? Like this Samaritan woman, you can be truly converted. Jesus will cross cultural and gender barriers or any other barrier necessary to reach you with his free gift of salvation that can satisfy your thirsty soul. Next week, we consider another conversion story from the Word of God.